time to start by the schedule. Calling all the people. All right, we'll see if they come in. Yeah, I know. We're on page 111. Where are we at? 121. 121 in your book. We'll get things started. We'll try to be done on time. This is a subject I'm excited about, and Christmas is coming. No, the theme here, my gifts, His glory, okay? We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, ma'am. You may close the door. Unless somebody comes, then charge them admission, okay? That's fine. Whatever, close it, lock it. That's okay. I got chided in one of the sessions because we left the door open and Pastor Wilkerson came over and said, "You're being too loud." So, all right, well, we'll close the door then. That was okay. my gifts actually the title on the paper says Your Gift, His Glory. The title on the screen says My Gift, but we're talking about spiritual gifts, okay? And this is a subject that God deals with throughout His Word, specifically in the New Testament, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll get our Bible there to begin, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read here in just a moment to set the scene. It's the last session of the day before we get back to the auditorium and have our final closing session and preaching time. Has been a blessing so far? Amen. People okay? Are we awake? Anybody feeling tired yet? Okay, if you feel tired, go ahead and just stand up. You cannot fall asleep as well if you're standing up. I know it's possible, though. I was sitting on a ladder once and fell asleep and fell off a ladder while at work years ago. That was a lot of fun. So it's possible, but it's harder to fall asleep when you're standing. So if you get tired, just go ahead and stand up. How many in the room are right-handed? Okay, how many are left-handed? All God's people. Very good. Very good. How many? Well, we can raise hands, but we could probably identify even without the hands up. How many are male in the room? All right. How many female? Very good. Little lesser facts. How many? Oh, somebody's coming in. Let's embarrass them. Come on in. Everybody else just took turns praying, so we were waiting. Would you like to pray for us now? No? Okay, that's all right. Nobody else prayed in here. We're just trying to see if we can have some fun. All right. How many, let's see, how many are under 5'7"? Under 5'7"? Okay, how many are over 5'7"? All right, we won't ask the weight, but we'll stop with the height. How many are naturally lighter hair color? Okay, blonde hair, light hair?
Gray.
Gray, okay. How many are naturally darker color? Brown, brunette, black? Okay, all right. So these types of things are left-handed, right-handed, male, female, height, hair color. How many have blue eyes? Okay, brown eyes? Green eyes. All right, one of each. Okay. All of these traits, right, physically, what makes somebody these things? Science lesson, what?
Genetics.
Genetics, right? What do we call that in that three-letter word?
DNA,
right? It's in your genetics. It's on the board over here. It's your makeup. It's your DNA. It's how many of you chose, okay, now I know some of you do choose your hair color, but how many of you choose the natural color of your hair? No, we're born that way. How many chose I'll just be a male or a female today. I know what the world says, but no, you did not choose that. God chose it for you, right? We're physically born. How many choose? Well, I just decided to be left-handed. Maybe we could favor one or the other, but by and large, that is a encoding within your genetic makeup, right? You're born that way. Some things are learned. Some things we're born with. Your eye color. Generally, the height that you're going to be, it's pretty well inside your chromosomes when you're born, right? That's your natural gifts. Okay, some people are gifted naturally. Some people can run real fast, jump real high, physical, strong. Some people have a mental acuity of quick recall or memory or higher IQ. Some people are naturally witty. Some people are natural thinkers. We all have natural gifts, right? Some people can play an instrument. They'll learn and study and train with a few lessons, but they're just naturally gifted. You ever meet someone that can they play the piano or they play the trombone and they're just naturally really good at it? Those are things that we don't have any control over. God gave them to us physically. Just as God gives physical traits, God gives spiritual traits. Okay, when we are born physically, that which is born of water is water. When we're born physically, we're born with physical traits. When we're born again, when we're born spiritually, we're born with spiritual traits. God gives every person spiritual gifts, or we can call them spiritual traits, your spiritual makeup, your DNA. We're in 1 Corinthians 12, and let's just read the first several verses quickly. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Boy, I love this phrase. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He says, about these matters of spiritual gifts, I don't want you ignorant. In other words, this is something you shouldn't walk around confused of. If I had to ask a question for every person here, tell me, what is your spiritual gift or gifts? How many can identify? You already know. I know what I'm gifted in. I know my spiritual gifts. Maybe a couple, okay? All right. How many of you would like to know what your spiritual gifts are? How many of you think, well, I'm not even gifted, I'm special gifted? Truth is, every one of you, if you're born again, God has given spiritual gifts. And Paul says, I don't want you ignorant, you should know it. Wouldn't it be frustrating if you lived your whole life not knowing if you were right-handed or left-handed? Wouldn't that be frustrating? Well, I'm left-handed. I'm better served when I use my left hand. I need to know that. I'm a male. I'm born that way. It would be very frustrating for me not to know this. Would you agree? Wouldn't it be frustrating to live as a Christian and not know what God gifted me for? What He's given me to use? So I wouldn't want you ignorant. Verse number 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus cursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh in are all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, just by way of introduction, God has given every person spiritual gifts to profit withal. He says they're given by the Holy Ghost. They're given works of the Holy Spirit. And these are things God gives to Christians to say they're used. He's given to every man to profit withal. The reason that God gives spiritual gifts is to profit the church, the local church, to profit other people, to bring the lost to salvation, to edify the saved, to minister to people. God has given these gifts for a reason. Let's flip over to Romans 12. We're going to simply jump right into our outline here, the naming of the spiritual gifts. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 deals with certain spiritual gifts, some of which were temporary, such as gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, gifts of miracles, gifts of knowledge, these types of things. They were temporary in the apostolic age, but Romans 12 gives us a list of gifts, seven of them, that I would determine and say are set and present day gifts, okay? I'll preface and take a brief pause and time out and say, if anything said in this session would contradict something that your pastor would teach or preach, he's right and I'm wrong, okay? You listen to what your pastor teaches concerning the scripture, but for this session is how the interpretation of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 come together. Again, if your church, your pastor teaches something a little different, please listen to them. I'm nothing special other than just a guest here at the seminar. All right, Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 3, the naming of the gifts. For I say, though, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members at one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Okay, seven different gifts of the Spirit that we read here in Romans chapter 12. God gives us these things, and he says, every Christian is going to be dealt these spiritual gifts. Okay? Some people will have dominant and recessive type traits. We use those terms in genetics. Some people will look at this list and be able to determine, all right, this trait right here is really dominant in my life. I see God working. But I've also got a little bit of this one and a little bit of this one. Sometimes we have two or three that work in unison. The concept is the perfect Spirit-filled man will manifest all of these, but some will come out with more dominance. All right? Let's look at it, and we'll walk through your notes here. Letter A is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. It's defined as the ability to speak the Word of God. The gift of prophecy in Romans 12 was not the foretelling of the future, like the prophet Isaiah that prophesied about the birth of Jesus, or Elijah that was able to prophesy it's not going to rain for 3 days. No, this gift of prophecy is to foretell the Word of God, to spread it abroad. The canon of Scripture completed now after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the gospel. We have the message of Jesus Christ. Prophecy goes from a position of looking forward to now giving out what's already true. If you have the Bible, we understand we have all the Word of God. The gift of prophecy is the ability to speak clearly and to present truth through the Word of God. Some people are more bold in their disposition of speaking God's Word. This is not a gift that's exclusive only to pastors or to men or any specific office within the church. This is a gift that God says is available to all Christians that He gives to foretell the Word of God. We think about some such as John the Baptist in the New Testament. John the Baptist was known as the prophet. Thus saith the Lord. And he stood bold in the face of danger even and prophesied and preached the Word of God. We think about Peter boldly standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching and speaking the Word of God. This is a gift that God gives to the local church and to Christians today. We find, secondly, is the gift of ministry. letter B there. The gift of ministry is the ability to serve others for the promotion of God's work. The ability to serve others for the promotion of God's work. Ministry is simply serving somebody else. And what we read in Romans 12 and verse number 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. What is this gift of ministry? It's the desire, it's the appetite, it's the gift to serve. Every local church will have somebody or several somebodies who are gifted uniquely with the privilege and the ability, I just want to serve, just want to help. Churches need them. Christians need them. If we're going to get the message of the Word of God, we need prophets, we need servants. And here, the gift of ministry to serve others for the promotion of God's work. I give you the next one. Oh, let me think here for a moment. The gift of ministry. Who in the Bible maybe comes to mind as somebody that would be considered a servant? Somebody that was gifted in ministry. Anyone think of something? Sir? Jesus. I'd suppose we would say that about all of these. Jesus was the perfect example. What about Martha? What do you remember Martha in the New Testament? Mary sitting there worshiping, and Martha comes out troubled, you know, and Jesus has to calm her down. Martha, you are cumbered about with much serving. Nothing wrong with serving. Of course, Mary had chosen the better work, but we understand that the ability to serve others is a spiritual gift that is fed and led by the Spirit. We come to the next one. We find the gift now of teaching. The gift of teaching, this is the ability to explain, to illustrate, and to communicate truth to others. I think about a lot of great teachers. Pastor Wilkerson, who is here and spoke this morning, will again this afternoon, had different sessions. In his own admissions would say, I'm not the pulpiteer of somebody like, Johnny Pope or some predecessors that he has followed or some other big name preachers that just thunder God's word from. But one thing, he is very gifted in his teaching. If you've been around Brother Wilkerson, you know he could take the word of God and just, he'll give you a 5-point outline through every chapter of the book of Philippians and just explain it so well, and it comes to life. And he spent a lot of years teaching school, and it's natural to him. I use the example here, teaching, is God says there in Romans 12, again, verse number 7, or he that teacheth on teaching. This is, God said, if I've given you the ability to teach, I want you to teach. We could think this is used, obviously, in the church setting, Sunday school teachers, or the ability to have a Bible study teacher, or to discipleship and help people learn the Word of God. Teaching is such a needful gift of the Holy Spirit. Then we come to the next one, is the gift of exhorting or exhortation, as the Bible says there in verse number 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. This is the ability to encourage, to energize, to uplift. This is the live wire, the spark plug, if you will, of the church, the one that has the ability of encouraging, uplifting, bringing to life the things that are dead. Every church needs an encourager. You think about people in your own life and ministry maybe that have the gift of exhortation. They can just, they uplift you. They make you feel good. We have the next one is letter E there, giving. The ability to give for the aid of others. This isn't just the gift of giving doesn't come just because someone has a lot of money. The gift of giving is a heart issue. Again, control of the Spirit. It's the desire, the appetite to give so that others' needs are met. I think of so many people in my life that have given generously. Some with money, some with time, some with physical needs. I love it in a church to see when a need gets brought up, maybe it's a prayer request or an announcement that's made, here's a family in need or something that happened. You can tell the spiritual strengths of certain people. Some will come right away what can I do to serve? How can I help them? What can I do to take care? They would just want to serve. Other people will come up right up. Hey, I'm here to give. Can I provide a meal? Can I buy them this? Can we take care of a bill? Can we help? And they just want to, both coming at the, we want to meet needs, one serving physically, one giving behind the scene. All needful, all helpful. But the gift of giving, again, is that ability to give for the aid of others. Think about the widow woman that took care of Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament. She wasn't planning to give. In fact, she was planning to make her last meal and die with her son, remember? And the prophet comes up and says, make me a cake. And she says, all right, if this is what God wants. And what happened? The meal never ran out. The cruse of oil never ran dry. She had it sufficient to continue. But she continued to give. And as she gave, God provided. We have a couple more. We have the gift of ruling, letter F. Ruling is the ability to organize, to delegate, to follow through, to oversee. This is a often overlooked necessity of the local church. Back in Romans 12, in verse number 8, says, he that ruleth with diligence. God wants rulers in Christendom, in his church. He wants Christians with this gift of ruling. Sometimes we use the term administration. Those are people that are gifted with the ability to take big projects and break them down to manageable tasks or to delegate. Let's get a committee to do that. Let's get a team over here. Let's break it up here. Let's have a work day on this for the church, and then we'll come back the following week and finish this project. And they know how to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. This is a needful gift in the local church. And then the last one, number 7, we have is the gift of mercy. The ability to demonstrate and manifest God's mercy to others. The Christian that's gifted in mercy often is one that has received great mercy. What did Jesus say concerning Mary toward the end of his life when she came and anointed his body with the spikenard and broke the alabaster box? They that have been forgiven much love much. The same is true with mercy. Often the ones that have the greatest capacity to show mercy are the ones that have received the most mercy. It's an amazing thing that God gifts spiritually people to be able to express and to give out mercy. All right, I'm going to pause for a moment. We've got 7 of them. They're in your notes. Let's do a quick evaluation, okay? Let's just look for a moment of a scenario. We're at a restaurant. Okay, we're going to sit down to eat. We're all at a table. We're having a good time. We expect good service. We know that this restaurant comes highly recommended. The food is delicious. The wait staff is top notch. And we're expecting nothing but the best because we're at McDonald's. I take that back. We better be somewhere better than McDonald's. But we're at the restaurant, and here comes the drinks, all right? We just ordered all the drinks, and we've got the teas and the coffees and the Cokes and the Dr. Pepper and the waters and the lemonade, all of it on the big tray. You've seen the waitress, you know, the waiter carrying them out. And here it is. They come up to the table, and they're getting ready to start serving the drinks, and something happens, and that waitress slips and tips the whole thing, falls over, makes a mess, splashes in your lap. Tablecloth is ruined. People are looking around. Glasses are broken. And we got a mess. So how do we respond? What do we do? Anybody, what do we do? Caleb?
We first pick up the tablecloth, get the tablecloth off, clean up the glass, then wipe the floor.
Okay. Okay, we're going to clean up for the person that just spilt the mess all over us. All right? How else can we respond?
Tell the waiter it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. We all have bad days, right? Okay. How else can we respond?
Make sure everybody's all right.
Okay. Somebody hurt? Anybody suffer a broken glass in the arm, you know? Okay, good. Anything else? We're going to clean it up. Relax, not a big deal. All right, here's a way to look at it. Let's for a moment imagine each of these spiritual gifts as a response. Okay? Now, here's the prophet sitting at the table, ready to pronounce the problem, assign blame, and offer correction. This is the prophet's job, right? You fool! Repent of your wicked ways. How could you be so blind? How could you stumble? This was such an important order, and you dropped it, right? We got to cause the prophet has a way of causing conviction for the person that's done wrong. Make sense? Okay. How many people have you ever seen blow up at somebody because they made a mistake? And you think, chill out. It's what a prophet does. They're going to point out blame. They're going to assign somebody's right, somebody's wrong. That's how God wired them. Is this needful in the local church? Absolutely. But if that's all we have, poor waitress, poor waiter. Is that going to be all that they need? No. Okay, let's go back to the, who else did we have there? We had the prophet. Let's go to the minister, the servant, the one that's gifted with ministry. Hey, let me help. Let me pick this up for you. Let me take care of it. I'm here to make it better. I'll take care of the tablecloth. Hey, let me pick up the broken stuff. Let me get the ice. Can you bring me a broom? The servant is just, let me make it better. Let me help. I feel better if I'm helping out. How many have ever seen somebody that they can't sit still because they want to take care of the burden? That's the servant. We think about the teacher, okay? This is the one at the table that's going to, excuse me, you understand the reason why you slip. You had too many drinks on this side, not enough on this side. You know, when you pick up from, it's going to slip. Next time, it would be a whole lot better if you just rebalance that. In fact, use two hands or put it on a cart if you have so many. Experience shows that too many drinks, one hand, accidents are, they're going to teach. Okay? They're not interested in picking up the mess. They're not interested in the person's feelings. But they know how to avoid the problem in the future. They've seen it before. And they're going to explain, you know what? It was probably not a great idea to try to grab that coffee and put it next to the iced tea because this one's really hot, this one's cold, and now you reached here and you had to react. And they're going to teach, how do we keep this from happening again? We have the exhorter. Hey, it's not all bad. You can do this. Pick it up. You have enough. You got 7 other tables you haven't ruined their day for. Don't worry about it. Hey, it's okay. We all make mistakes. Keep going. You can do this again. Understand? We're going to encourage them. Then we get the, hey, I'm paying for the meal. Don't worry about this. Your tip is still intact. 20%+. Don't worry. I'll pay for it. By the way, if anyone here, your clothes need dry cleaning or laundry after all this, I'll take care of that. Here's some extra money. We're just going to give. Throw money at it. The problem will go away. We've got the ruler, the administrator. All right, I need 3 people over here. Go ahead and clear this tablecloth. I need the mop brought out. Hey, stop the traffic in the middle. Block that off so that they can clean this over here. I need the manager to come back out, take care of her. She probably is embarrassed, needs to be taken care of in the back, needs some additional training. Then we're going to go ahead and get the new drinks brought out. I need someone to prepare those. And they're going to organize everything and get it taken care of, right? We have the mercy person. It's okay. Don't feel bad. We all make mistakes. Their heart, their empathy just goes out. All of these offer a different perspective. In context, that's a physical scenario offering 7 different responses. I'll give you one more a little easier to apply to church ministry. Okay, we're going to go to the hospital and make a visit. How many of you have ever made a hospital visit? Okay, we're going to go see somebody. We've got a lady in our church. She's been coming now for about 6-7 months. And she recently got saved, baptized, and just growing in the Lord and loving the Lord. Kids are starting to come to church. and mom's on fire, but husband, she keeps praying, you know, hey, can you pray for my husband? He doesn't really believe, he doesn't really want to come. And the next week she, you know, hey, can you pray for my husband? He was supposed to come today, but he decided to go out with his friends. They're watching the football game. And then we hear about, well, pray for my husband. He's got a drinking problem. I didn't want to say much, but yeah, he really goes out to the bars all the time, and he's just, and then we're hearing in ladies' Bible study, you know, well, really he gets paid and then he just blows the money on all his stuff down at the bar, and I can't keep up with the kids, and I'm frustrated with him, and he needs to get saved, but man, he's just a terrible husband, and he's hurting our kids, and he actually yelled at me the other day. And we're hearing this as a church, okay? Now we're in church, and we get notified we need to go to the hospital. There's been an accident. Jim was out riding the motorcycle. He was drunk, ran a light, T-boned a car. He's all banged up, wasn't wearing his helmet. It doesn't look good. Now we're going to go visit, okay? What do we say to him? Any idea? Think about your natural, what comes to mind? What do we say to him? What do we say to her? How do we minister to this family? Well, let's rehearse real quick. What's the prophet going to say?
Rebuke him.
Yeah, he's going to rebuke him. He's going to come into the room and maybe something to the effect of, hey, you realize that God's trying to get your attention, right? You realize you better shape up. If you don't quit your drinking, if you don't start this, you could be dead today. You better repent. Man, if you don't trust God, he may not give you another chance. He's going to tell him the word of God, absent of feeling or emotion. This is fact. The wages of sin is death, and man, you came real close. This is your time. Maybe he's got an open road to witness and to give him the gospel, and we need people like that, yes? What would the servant, the one gifted in ministry, say?
Hey, can I help with your kids while you're at the hospital?
Yeah. How can I help? I'm just here to help. I don't have any words. I just want to help. Can I pick up, you know, kids from school? Can I bring some groceries over? Can I do something? Can I, you know, talking to the wife, husband's laid up. Can I come over and help you with some of the chores? What can I do to help you? Right? That's the heart of the servant. How about the teacher? So you're going to come in and, well, it looks like you ran the intersection, you know, and explain the too much front brake, not enough rear brake, or whatever the skid was. Yeah, blood alcohol level above 0.08. I mean, that's legally drunk, but really your impaired starts about 0.02. One drink too many. Man, you need to wake up. This isn't killing your liver. He's going to give them all the facts. Hey, this is going to put you out of work for 3-4 months. What's insurance going to cover? You got to think about your ways. This is no way to live, right? We've got an exhorter. Sometimes the exhorter is a lot of fun. They don't live in reality. It's okay, man. We've all been there. Man. Look at this. If that was the worst that knocked down, you can get back up from this. You got that. Come on. Hey, put the bottle away. God will pick you up. Your wife's going to be okay. She still loves you. He's going to go to her, and it's not a big deal, man. You can take care of this. A lot of encouragement, but maybe falling empty on that situation. We have a giver. What bills need to be paid? What groceries need to be bought? What do the kids need at school? How can I give? All trying to meet needs. We have the administrator, the ruler. Okay, we're going to organize, you know, ladies in the church are going to bring meals over. We got someone to pick the kids up after school so you can work overtime. Don't worry about your husband while he's up. We've organized a prayer chain. They're praying around the clock. We're taking care of people to come and visit. We understand that once you get out in rehab, we got a schedule already. Here's the medications. They're going to help organize. They're going to help get it all in place. Here's the mercy person that comes in and just wants to sit. Maybe not a lot to say, but buddy, I'm here for you. What can I hold your hand while you're suffering? Can I sing with you? Can we pray together? Man, you need to get better. I feel so bad. Mercy says, I'll give you another chance. God loves you. And while all of these may have a different response, I ask this question, are any of them right versus another? Is one a wrong response? They're all necessary because they're all gifts of the Spirit. Put yourself in the scenario, what's my gift? Well, in some case, what's the natural response? When I sit down to eat, I don't have to think, do I grab the fork with this hand or this hand? This just feels natural. I've been doing it so long. I know what I'm using. It's comfortable, right? I'm naturally left-handed. When you think about the strengths and weaknesses that God gives every Christian, He's given you, some are just very natural, bold in their witness and their testimony, and this is black and white, this is right and wrong. It's that gift of prophecy. We're going to tell truth, and I really don't care how it makes you feel. Some are very natural in teaching. We're going to explain it. We're going to teach it. Here's the reason. Here's the meaning. Here's the origins. Here's what happens. Here's this scenario. Here's another example. Some are the exhorter. We're just here to encourage, to uplift. I'm going to make you feel better. I'm going to make you laugh if I can. We're just going to let's do it together. The mercy gifts, just there to comfort, to console, to give attention. None of them are a wrong response. They're all gifts of the Spirit. Without spending too much time on these individual gifts, let's look at the next part in our outline, and we move quickly. The diversified by the Spirit. Excuse me. The distribution of the gifts. That's where we're at. The distribution. For to one is given the Spirit, word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, prophecy, discerning the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. We have distribution of gifts, all different kinds. Here it is. They're diversified by the Spirit. God's the one that's diversifying. So who gets what gift? Well, it depends on what God gives. God's the one giving these out. There's diversities of gifts. Diversities of gifts, differences of administrations, diversities of operations, all different types of people, different ways of doing it, but the same God. We look at this in your notes, unified in the Spirit. Of course, the Bible tells the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. The spiritual gifts of the believer are unified in the Spirit. God brings people together. A good church, a good body of Christ has a good balance of spiritual gifts. There are people with the gifts of mercy, people with the gifts of prophecy. They balance each other out. There are people with the gifts of teaching and people with the gifts of encouraging. There's people with the gifts of administering and people with the gifts of serving. And these are complementary one to another, but they're unified in the Spirit. Then we find this in your notes, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit with all. The goal is to profit the whole. These gifts are not given to elevate one person or one group, but the whole. And the reason that God gives these gifts is for the edification of the whole church. I have to move quickly. Number three here, the functioning of the gifts. If you look at verses 11 through 16, God's given the example of the body. If everyone were the smelling, where would the hearing be? If everyone were the seeing, where would the speaking be? We all have different parts of our body that serve different functions, just like the church has different people with different gifts for different functions. Not everybody serves the same function. Not everybody has the same gift. And it's on purpose by the Spirit. Look at this. When spiritual gifts function, it is the function for the Spirit being lived out through the local church. When they're functioning, it's the function of the Spirit being lived out through the church. This is how God works. God says to one, you're the hearing. To one, you're the smelling. To one, you're the foot. To one, you're the eye. One, you're the ear. You're the hand. Everyone a different member. Everyone a different function. But God assigns the function. We find this. These gifts are distributed as the Spirit wills. There are some things physically I don't choose in my life, and there's some things spiritually I don't choose in my life. God chooses them. God has made me unique in my physical makeup as well as my spiritual makeup. No two Christians are identical. We can have identical twins physically. We don't have identical twin Christians. Every person in the church is going to be a little different. Some have more gift of this, less of that. More of this, less of that. And if we're not careful, it causes friction in the body. That's why Paul encourages, let there be no schism within the body of Christ. We find this. The body of believers functions with the Spirit's gifts. How does the church operate? With the Spirit's gifts. Moving on, many members, one body. Many members, one body. Many needs, one body. Many functions, one body. Okay, there's a lot of different members, a lot of different needs, a lot of different functions, but one body, one church. The Spirit belongs or brings all of us into one body of Christ. This is the Spirit's big function on earth. He is bringing all believers into the body of Christ. Local churches operating individually as the Spirit wills. Local members making up the individual churches as the Spirit wills, bringing us all into the body of Christ. We find there is a need for many, that's not even the right word on there, should say many members in one body. There is a need for many members. All right, just like we need fingers and elbows and feet and hip and thigh and head. We have different needs for our own physical body. The church has needs for different gifts, different people in the body. All members are necessary, but notice this, all members are different. All members are different. All members edify one another. They're to build each other up. And all members interact with one another. All members edify. All members interact. All members are sourced and nourished by the same head. Christ is the head of the church. He's bringing us together as the source. Here we go. Almost finished out. The body is set as it pleases the Lord. What brings glory to God is when the church honors Him. When it's functioning in the way that He intended. Just as I can't act like another pastor can't be me, my church can't be someone else's church, your church can't be a different, all individual to please the Lord. God tempers the body together. We know this. We'll stop here with the outline. So there's no more notes for you to write, and I'm already out of time. I'll end it with this. God gives spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit for His glory. God has given you talents and abilities for His glory. One thing and thought that helped me years ago, took a lot of these Maybe you've seen spiritual gift tests. I think some of them have some value. Some of them are a waste of paper, but there's some that are good. I found those skewed a lot because when I'd answer them, I'd answer them with a bias of what I wanted to be. And then over the years, I realized this isn't who I am. This is who I am. And here's a thought that helped me. A pastor sat down and he told me, he says, what do you enjoy doing? What do you have opportunity to do? And what do you do that fulfills you and others encourage you to do? This is a good thought of, if God didn't gift it to you, He wouldn't give you opportunity to use it. Also, if you have no opportunity, it probably means you have no gift. Okay? I have no opportunity to sing in the choir because I have no gift to sing. Does that make sense? Maybe that's not a great example. I have a lot of opportunities over the years to preach, not because I'm special, but because God has given me, He wants me to do it, so He gives opportunity. I've never had opportunities to speak at a ladies' conference because I feel maybe that's something God never intended me to do. The things I have opportunity, maybe God wants it. What fulfills you? I'll say it this way. If you leave the nursery Sunday morning, if you're a nursery worker and you leave out with a headache, I hate my life, this is terrible, I dread this, I hate this so much, probably you shouldn't be a nursery worker. If it's draining you, like, maybe don't do it. I had somebody tell me years ago, I lead the singing in my church and I get so nervous in front of people. I have like an anxiety attack. It's all I can do just to come to church on Sunday morning. I dread it. I said, well, maybe don't lead the singing. Like, just because you have a good voice doesn't mean you're supposed to be the song leader. If you hate it, don't do it. Spiritual gifts, when used and exercised, should make you feel filled, not drained. Just like eating with my right hand, my left hand, makes me feel filled. Eating with my right hand is frustrating. It's just not, it's possible, but it's not natural. God has given you things to use to benefit others that will grow you and make you more alive. We're out of time. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless the rest of the day now, the preaching to come, Brother Wilkerson, and this closing session. And bless our day tomorrow in church. Lord, use these churches across our area for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're out of time. We dismiss.